Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allah Ta'ala has created systems for all things in this world. Though he is not in need of the systems, but he has created systems, and it is expected of us that we follow the system, we follow the procedure. One who is in need of bread and an earning, then there is a system that he needs to follow. Either going to farming, agriculture, open up a business, take up a profession. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of the profession, that farming, that work, that business. He's not in need of it. He can provide without those means. But it is expected of us that we adopt the means. We apply the means. So this applies to all things. You want deen, then too you have to follow procedure and you have to follow the system. Allah Ta'ala willing, the entire Quran can be instilled in your heart at once. You don't have to go through the teacher and then become a hafiz. But he has made a system and he expects you to follow that system. One Hafiza woman got married. The husband felt that it would be very disrespectful for me if I am with her. I am not a Hafiz and she is Hafiz. So when we'll be together, then I'll be showing disrespect to the Quran. Well, he went helter-skelter, he's running around, pareshan. Some people had some unique respect for the Quran Sharif. In the past, the word of Allah Ta'ala, Quran Sharif, the name of Allah Ta'ala, the name of his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had very unique respect. And on account of this respect, they had progressed. The name of Allah Ta'ala, we need to respect it. It's a masjid, we need to respect. It is something to do with Islam and Deen, with respect. In fact, some places you will find that even non-Muslims will show respect to things pertaining to deen. Even a non-Muslim who's a little bit sane and who's not prejudiced, find he comes past a masjid in a dignified way. Some you'll find that if they've got the music blasting, they're coming past the masjid, nobody's stopping them, but they'll tone down that music and they'll come past the masjid. So some people have that natural respect for anything that is related to deen. One person in the neighborhood of Mawan Nanutwi Rahmatullahi died. So Mawla Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi saw him in the dream. He is in Jannat. So Mawla asked him, Lalaji. Lalaji is normally a title you give to a Hindu baniya, you see. Lalaji, you came up this idea, what happened? How you ended up here? So he says, yes, I've been a Hindu my entire life. But just a few months or so before I could die, I got blessed with Iman. What happened was that my son was eating openly in the month of Ramadan. And I slapped him for that. told him that, don't you have respect and some type of consideration for the for this people's month? They are all fasting and openly you're going about eating. Don't you have any respect, any consideration? On account of that, a few months before I could die, Allah Ta'ala blessed me with iman. And I kept it a secret. I concealed it from my family for obvious reasons. If I had I opened it and I disclosed it to the family, they would have ostracized me. Old man like me now, where should I have found a house and a sanctuary for myself? So I concealed it, but I died with iman. On a Mufti Rafisab, Ahmad Barakatum from Pakistan. He says that he was in Germany. He kept on receiving a telephone from some Sikh, Hindu Sikh, you know, those people that wear turbans. That he wants an appointment with Maulana. And Maulana was so caught up, his schedule is so tight, he's coming in from Pakistan, he's got 3-4 days, and everybody wants to see this masla, that problem. So that schedule is quite tight. And he kept on postponing it. Now the last day, and he wanted to have that appointment with Maulana. So Maulana took out about 1-2 hours, he thought, I'll meet you. So he invited him. A very wealthy person. How you have this shopping malls. He was the owner of an entire shopping complex in a busy spot in Germany. So he says to Maulana, I want to first discuss with you, I want to tell you my whole story, and then I want to accept Islam. What is your story, by different people you have to have different approaches, you have to show some consideration. When they're showing some interest to deen, so you need to show some consideration. He says that in my childhood, I was born and brought up in Delhi. And the whole 47 problem that took place, the partition and the way Muslims were being massacred, all that was front of my eyes. I was a small child at that time, 7 or 8 years of age, and I was accompanying my father. We were passing by a masjid, and my father saw a Quran Sharif strewn down, so he asked me to pick it up. I picked it up respectfully. I gave it to the Imam Sahib that was in charge of the masjid nearby. Siopal's book, it was strewn down in a disrespectful place, in a disrespectful manner. So Imam Sahib placed it wherever he had to place it. We must examine ourselves. Sometimes in the madrasa, Qurans are lying down, books where Allah Ta'ala's name is inscribed is just lying down, and we don't show that type of respect. Sometimes I walk past the house, coming down on a Monday or Tuesday, everybody's garbage is collected. Then I just walk past 1-2 garbage is collected, I see on wedding card and written the Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Some verse of the Quran Sharif. Actually, we are inviting the anger, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this word of Allah ta'ala, the name of Allah ta'ala, it needs respect. And if you feel that that person you're sending the card to will not respect it, then don't send him that type of card where Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is written. Allah Pak's name is written. These are elementary things. In the past, children used to be taught Allah Pak's name, respect it, keep it in respect, don't throw it around. Okay? So these are elementary things, and this needs to be inculcated in children as well as adults nowadays. Okay? Anything that is to do with deen, like I say, masjid, madrasa, anything that is related to deen, now, which the type of respect we need to show. Musa alayhi salam is being commanded, فَخْلَعَنَ عَلَيْكِ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى. Are you coming to a holy land? So remove your shoes. فَخْلَعَنَ عَلَيْكِ. Remove your shoes. Holy land. That wasn't a masjid. Some tajalli of Allah Ta'ala descended at that spot. Some manifestation of Allah Ta'ala's glory had descended at that spot. So that became a holy ground. Now remove your shoes from this place. So anything that is got to do with deen, anything, small, big, however, our duty is to respect it. These are those small things that lead up to bigger achievements, or the bigger achievements that we are looking for. These are the small things that lead up that direction. It takes you up that ladder. But you disregard these things, take it as small things, then where you are, you begin to fall down. So this respect and adab for anything that is raised to deen, anything, any small thing, how small it may seem, but it's got to do with deen. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, they say of him that he was a very powerful wrestler in his day, very, very powerful wrestler in his day. And he was the royal wrestler. The way that Allah Ta'ala had accepted him was that one old man, he challenged Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. So now it was a talk of the country, an old, pale, thin man, and he has challenged Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh. Junaid Baghdadi wasn't Junaid Baghdadi, now he was a wrestler. He was known as the king's wrestler. And here, this was a challenge. Pale, old, thin, weak person, and he's challenged such a person. So it was something that caught the eye and attention of everybody. So there was a big, huge crowd attending. As they went into the ring to wrestle, this old man whispered something into Junaid's ears. And Junaid rahmatullah alayh, very simply, he dropped down first time. The referee said, no, there must be a second round. And the second round, he dropped him again. And the third time, he dropped him again. So Junaid rahmatullah alayh had seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream that you had shown respect to my descendant and I will exalt you on account of that. That old man was a Sayyid. What he whispered into the ear was, I am a Sayyid, I am a descendant of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and for several days there is no food in the house. There is starvation, absolute starvation. And it's beyond me to go and ask anybody, beg from anybody. I thought the only way I can get something is challenge you. If I challenge you and I win, then I will gain something. I will gain something as a prize. Now, this affected Junaid, rahmatullah alayh. He showed that respect, and Allah Ta'ala exalted him. So all this, it stems from this respect. It starts off at this point, respect. And unfortunately, that respect is considered as something insignificant, small, insignificant. You hear of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and various other Aimmah kiram, that they would not stretch their legs, their feet. Why? On this end is my Ustad living, on that end is my Ustad living, on the other end is my Ustad living, now how can I stretch my feet? Whereas Imam Sahib rahmatullah alayhi became popular, he became famous, and he was known, people benefited from him, they took from him more than what they have benefited from his ustads. But that did not mean that Imam Sahib rahmatullah, after now reaching that type of achievement, he abandoned the ustad. No, I have reached it, I have reached this, I reached it through this ladder. So the rung, the lower rung of the ladder has to be respected all my life. I can't forget them. This was the rung that took me up. Now that I'm up here, now must I forget those rungs? No, I can't forget them. As Junaid also says, someone saw him in the advanced age, still pulling a tasbih. So he says, now at this age also, still you pulling tasbih. He said, yeah, this was the very thing that brought me up here. Now that I have come up, must I abandon this? Must I forsake this? But this was the means that I came up. Yeah. So whatever the means that took us up, we respect them, make dua for them, talk good about them, avoid listening or talking bad about them in the presence or in the absence. We feel from within our hearts that we appreciate them, and we definitely wouldn't have been where we were without these people. So we feel within our hearts in that manner. So this Sikh is telling Mawlana Mufti Rafi Sahib, Damat Barakatum, he tells him, then all this happened and things just began to unravel. But I noticed within myself that I just took a liking for Islam after that. Anything about Islam and anything about Deen, I began to take a liking, began to take a love for it. Then, after that partition, my parents and all, we moved away, moved up to Germany. Allah Ta'ala made me very prosperous, very, very wealthy. From one small shop, I expanded and I grew, and I grew from strength to strength. Now you see this whole shopping complex, I am the owner of this entire shopping complex. But still, this burning urge to accept Islam, I haven't attended to it. Every day, that urge to accept Islam and to be a Muslim is growing in me. And I haven't attended to it. So anyway, this is why I have called you, that now that feeling in me is irresistible. I can't resist any longer. I want to accept Islam. But now you see where this thing stemmed from, where it started off from. And where it takes him, right up here, right to this point. Anyway, he accepted Islam. That is the first side of the story. But there is the other side of the same story. The Sikh then says to Mawlana Mufti Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, Damat Barakatum, that I want to accept Islam, but I don't want to be a Muslim. This is strange. I want to accept Islam, but I don't want to be a Muslim. So Mawlana says, this is quite strange that you want to accept Islam, but you don't want to be a Muslim. What is your story? He said, no, I definitely am sure I want. I do accept Islam, but I don't want to be a Muslim. But can you just explain what's your intentions? He says, you see, now this is a lesson for all of us. What example he quoted was a specific example, but it affects all of us. He says, you see, I'm here for so many years in Germany, and I'm seeing the Muslims and their behavior. People are coming from foreign countries, and then they marry the local woman, they get a child from them, get their documents and their passport, whatever, and they dump this woman and they're gone. So I see the behavior of the Muslims, and I say, I don't want to be a Muslim. I like the religion, I love the religion, and I want to be in Islam. In other words, he was saying, as I would understand, that I don't want to be counted as one of these Muslims here, who are so unfaithful, unloyal, who are not true to their religion. I don't want to be counted amongst them. That is what Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, once explained, that we have become the obstruction on the road of Islam. People want to come into Islam, but then they see us, all right, what is all Islam about? There will be one percentage that will go and study books and what have you. But the vast majority are not going to look up to books. They're going to look at our example. The whole effort of this Tabligh Jamaat is the same. Make some examples. See, we speak about Islam, or the people see books about Islam, right? So it's like a marketing strategy or marketing procedure. When they will read about Islam, and they will hear about Islam over the radio or wherever, they will hear or they will see and they will read, then the thing that will go into the head is that when you have marketed this product, we want to see the sample, right? You're marketing a product, right? Corolla or Mercedes or BM. So the person that wants to buy, what he does, he wants to see the product. Because he knows that it's a big amount that I'm outlaying. Similarly, this person that is accepting Islam, it's a big shift in his life, major shift in his life. Imagine now, he'll be in a total different life, lifestyle will be different, his associates will be different, he'll be forsaking his own families and relatives and all, what have you. See? His whole outlook will be totally different. There will be a total different outlook in his life. So he's making such a big shift in his life, he can't just go into it. He don't want to go and accept, he want to go and examine it, he want to check it out properly. He wants to see it properly, scrutinize it for himself. Now that he's scrutinized it, and he's got that type of itminan, that type of peace he's got, now his mind is settled, eventually he goes and accepts it. But he just reads about Islam and you expect him to accept Islam straight away, that is incorrect. So they will come to the dealership and they want to see that sample. And when they see people like us, will they be pushed away from Islam or they will be pushed into Islam? Will they be pushed away from Islam or will they be ushered into Islam? They say, alright, we read about Islam and we read what Islam stands for, what it offers, and what are the details of the religion. But now let's go and see these people that are calling themselves Muslims, how do they practice? How do they behave? What is their conduct? How fair are they? How honest are they? How committed are they to their religion? How committed are they to their words? How honest are they? So they want to see the person, they want to see the honesty, his akhlaq and character. It will attract anybody. Remember the learning that we go through, right? This learning is offered to the public perhaps 1/20th of the time. What? 1/20th of the time you are offering your learning to the public in a Jummah or whatever it is, in an adults program, you're offering that to the public. 1 hour, 2 hours in the whole week, see? This is what you are offering to the public. But the whole public, what they do, what do they observe? What do they watch? What is this man's character? How does he conduct himself? How does he behave? How does he talk to people? What he does, what he doesn't do? They observe every small thing, big thing they will watch. Okay? And it is this character that will attract afterwards. Okay? It is these good habits that will attract that person. Is Sahaba Ikram, they say about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he came to Medina Munawwara, adat kulla shay, everything just lightened up, everything lightened up. And they say, we didn't see a person like him before him nor after him. Okay? So what was it? There was some unique quality in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that attracted these people, very, very unique. The character, the ways, the conduct of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was the thing that had attracted them. So we are speaking today with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of Rabtul Qalbi bi Shaykh, right? And I continued this topic by saying that they are systems. And the systems of Allah ta'ala have to be respected. Rosy, there is a system. You have to follow that system, then you get rosy. Okay? Is Allah Ta'ala, is he subject to that system? Is he dependent on that system? He's not dependent. But all of us will agree that we have to subject ourselves to the system of Allah Ta'ala. Right? We need to go for Hajj for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, ikhlas, everything. But you have to subject yourself to the system. Go and apply for a passport, inoculations, sahuk, all that rigmarole, eventually Allah Ta'ala blesses you with a maqbool and a mabroor hajj. But can you avoid that system? Say, no, I got so much of sincerity. I want to go to the house of Allah Ta'ala. I got absolute ikhlas in my heart. I got yaqeen. And now you expect yourself to be just flown up to Makkah Mukarrama and just get a place straight away in hajj. Does that happen? It can happen. Not that it can't happen. It can happen. But that doesn't normally happen. That's not the system of Allah Ta'ala, it's not the sunnah of Allah Ta'ala, not the way of Allah Ta'ala. Similarly, you'll find Allah Ta'ala once, he can allow the father, the grandfather and the grandson to be born at one and the same time. Can't he make it happen? He can make it happen. He can make it happen. Nobody can stop him. But Allah Ta'ala system, first grandfather, then father, then son. Right? So this is the system. Now you can't overtake that system. Allah Ta'ala, I want to be a grandson straight away. You can't. I want to be a grandfather straight away. You'll have to be first a grandson, then a father, then you become a grandfather. So that procedure has to be followed. One person was working somewhere in London, Indian or Pakistani, and he received a message from a friend, whatever it was, came and delivered a message. What's the message by? So he read that message that your wife has become a widow. He's crying and he's mourning. Wife has become a widow. Bhai, tum kyun pareshan ho? Nahi, meri biwi to biwa ho gayi. So he said, lekin tum to zinda ho, tum yahan maujood ho, you are here present. How did she become a widow? Baat to sachi hai, lekin kehne wala sachcha tha. What you're saying is that, but the one who brought the message, he was true. Honest person. Now that is our problem, you see. That when people praise us and talk good about us, we really begin to get convinced. No, I am like this. I am worthy of those titles. I am worthy of what people talk about me. Whereas many a times, it is just something that they have heaped up. Just to flatter us or to make us feel something great. So now we hear these stories, we begin to become convinced. And we don't realize that what they are saying is all nonsense. There is no essence in it. But we hear that one, two words of praise, one, two madah words, and we feel, no, we're really worthy and entitled to that. Like this person here, he said, no, my wife has really become bewa, become a widow. So these are systems of Allah Ta'ala, and the systems of Allah Ta'ala will have to be followed. Allah Ta'ala wanted, if He willed, He could have brought us into this world without the agency of parents. But He brought us through the agency of parents. And then after that He wants us to respect that agency. He is responsible. Who is responsible for existence? Allah Ta'ala is responsible. But the means for existence became our parents. So then He wants you right till the day you die, or right till the day they die, you must respect them. No exception. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلْ يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ They reach old age. They become dependent. So now you lower yourself, you humble yourself, make dua for them. Whereas they are not responsible for your existence. Allah Ta'ala was the one that was responsible for your existence. But He wants you to respect them right till the end. Why? So He's made a system and then He wants you to appreciate those systems. Not to just ignore those systems. He wants to appreciate those systems. The same in the madrasa. The ustad who's taught you something. So, right till you live, you'll make dua. Amaghfirli, wali walidayya, wali asatizi, or wali ustazi, whatever. You'll make dua for them. Don't you do that? You see them, you'll show them some respect. Some people more, some people less. But they will show that respect in whichever way they need to show to that ustad of theirs. Will they or not? They will do it. The one that had really given you ilm was Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala granted you ilm. Allah Ta'ala grants ilm. Rabbi zidni ilma, we say. Don't we say that Rabbi zidni ilma, Allah Ta'ala grant me, increase me in knowledge. Don't we say that? So the grant is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala wants you to respect these means. That were the means of you gaining that knowledge. It happens. Qari Amir Hassan Sahib, Damat Barakatum, says that when the student takes admission in a madrasa, and he says, my ustad, there isn't anybody like him. And he's got so much of regards and respect for his ustad. Then after 3-4 years, as he's climbing up the ladder, then he says, no, I'm equal now. We are right now, we on par. Yeah? We papas, we on par now, right? And then, at the time he's come to completion, he said, no, I respect my Ustad, but he's a little behind still. He's behind. Suddenly, we become superior than our teachers. We become greater than our teachers. So, Allah Ta'ala's system is different. Allah Ta'ala's system is, you appreciate it. Right till the day you die, you appreciate. You love him, you respect him, and consider him to be your superior. As Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says, Allama Shibli, very famous author, very famous orator, one of the founders of Nadwatul Ulama, Lucknow, right? He and Mawlana Sayyid Sulaiman Sahib, he must have been the ustad of Sayyid Sulaiman Sahib as well, Shibli. So very great orator, everything. Allah Ta'ala blessed him. So he came to Kanpur and he delivered a talk there. And a huge crowd. The man is very popular. So he must attract that audience. Right? He's not only popular, but he's an alim, founder of a madrasa, very good orator. So he attracted that type of audience. Now the talk ended and he sat down. So his teacher, his ustad, Shibli's teacher, was in that crowd. So the ustad just reclined against the wall and he stretched his feet. And he said, Shibli, zara pair mein dard hai, zara isko malish kar do. Straight away he rolled up his sleeves in the presence of the whole crowd, even and rubbed the feet of his ustad. Whereas the ustad must have been one who taught him Nurani Kaida or something. The Nurani Kaida, Alif Ba, he taught him. But till that age, where he's attracting that crowd, he's an Allama, so many people are attracted to his talks. But he did not compromise the respect for his teacher. So, one is the respect to our parents, then to our teachers, then to the mashayikh. Like I say, whatever we gain it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are means, isn't it? There are systems and we respect that system. You're working for a company, so you don't tell the boss, you are the provider, Allah Pak is the provider. What can you do me? Do you ever speak to the boss in that way? No, you hold him in respect. You hold him in respect, you appreciate him, and you appreciate, you respect your job as well. You'll speak highly about your boss, and you imagine as though it's coming through this way. So when it's coming through to me this way, I need to respect that means. So similarly, you have that feeling, a small child will have that same feeling with his parents. Allah Ta'ala is the provider, and everything is coming through the means of my parents. So he wants anything, his focus is in that direction. His focus is there, his eyes are set on his parents, that through them, Allah Ta'ala is providing me. Now this Rabtul Qalb Shaykh is the same thing. That Allah Ta'ala is the one that is providing this fuse, this barakat that I'm enjoying, that eagerness, that longing, that yearning, that enthusiasm to practice deen, etc. The actual provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this eagerness, this understanding, this love for deen, this commitment to deen, is coming to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but via the Shaykh. Like everything else is coming via. It's coming through something, some means. So now I'll respect this means, because it's coming through this means. I will not ever ignore this. I will never forget this means. I will respect it. Like I say, that person was battling for a job. A lot of difficulty, eventually he confirmed a job. And he's quite comfortable with the job. Right? How respectful and how appreciative he is. Everybody else is battling and in difficulties. I have confirmed a job. So how respectful, in the presence, in the absence. He doesn't want anything negative to reach to his boss and to his elders. Because he can compromise his job. He may lose his job just now. So he's very appreciative and he's very careful of his relationship with his employers. So the same feeling we need to have with our teacher, then with the mashayikh as well, that this fuse, this barakah, this understanding of deen I have, this outlook, this eagerness, this enthusiasm to sacrifice for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, all this has come here, through this means. Al-Mu'ad Tami Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to say that this understanding that I've got, this understanding and this outlook of deen I've got, I feel it is through Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Because prior to me associating myself with Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, I had that ilm. I did have that ilm, right? And that ilm that we had was such, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh read till Kafiya, right? And the ilm that we had, we could write a kitab like Kafiya, right? We could write a kitab like Kafiya. But this understanding and this progress in knowledge and this blossoming of and flourishing of our ilm, it only came after association with Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. You see, intisab. Barakatul ilm fil intisab. You appreciate and you attribute things to the right places. I was giving a talk and one barrister, he became very emotional. And in an outburst of emotionalism, he says to Hadith Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Tu mujammal as jamal ki isti, Tu mukammal as kamal ki isti. I see that beauty in you, I see that eloquence, I see that ilm, I see that understanding, and the profound nature, your performance, etc. All this, where did this come from? Where did this beauty come from? Where did this eloquence, where did this knowledge come to you? So from the mimbar, it says, Man mujammal as jamal hajiyam, Man mukammal as kamal hajiyam. This beauty and this whatever you see is on account of Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Not of my own. But he attributed to the right source. Understand? So this is the type of outlook we need to have, the type of feeling. The moment we begin to feel independent, I'm quite sufficient, I'm independent, then must remember from that moment we are collapsing, we are on the decline. But the moment until we say, it's all the du'as, the barakat of my elders. The child also, he comes to his youth, he comes to his strength, full strength. He says, no, it's on account of the upbringing of my parents, my teachers. It's on account of their upbringing, truly, that I see myself in this condition. Went for them, I wouldn't have been here where I am today. So he doesn't forget them. So this is that appreciation that Allah Ta'ala likes. And this is what is called Rabtul Qalbi Bishaykh, that your heart is connected. Then, wherever you are, you will find that fuse and barakat of those mashayikh will reach unto you. If that type of feeling is come firm into you, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh had wrote up to his sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that I don't have the money also to come to you. He was in constraints, in the markaz at a point, they were in constraints, and I don't have, but my heart yearns to be with you all the time. Now his Rabtul Qalbi Sheikh was so great, was of such a caliber, okay, Mawlana Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullah wrote back to Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah that tumhare liye dur aur nazdeek dono barabar hai, aane ki zarurat nahi hai. For you, your Rabtul Qalbi Sheikh, your heart is so tied up, see, that you really don't need to come, because a distance and being in my presence is the same. What benefit you will gain from me in my presence, you will gain it in my absence as well. And Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, after this, he used to say, اصل تو اخذ کرنا ہے طبیعت سے اصل تو اخذ کرنا ہے لینا ہے طبیعت سے زبانی لینا ایک بہت ہی کمزور واسطہ ہے. What he says that when we receive instruction etc., we receive it verbally, But he says this is a very weak form of receiving instruction. You know, instruction, guidance, learning, etc. We receive it how? Through a verbal instruction. But he says this means of earning it in this way, it's a very weak means. Because the actual ilm and the basis of the ilm, the seat of the ilm is where? Is the heart, is the tabiat, right? The tongue is just conveying a message. And it can't do complete justice in conveying that message. It can't be absolutely perfect in conveying that message. It will convey something, it will leave out some things. That real thing, that actual thing that is in the heart, it can't convey it entirely. Like a person is giving a talk, he'll convey something, but he can't convey everything, absolute. So, you have to make your tabiat. Now that the student, the salik, needs to make his tabiat such that now his tabiat can receive from the tabiat of his mashayikh. There's so much of compatibility, there's so much of understanding, there's so much of such a deep affinity that wherever he is, but he is receiving that fuyuz, that barakat, the type of understanding, the type of feelings, the type of yearning, he is receiving it from the very tabiat. His tabiat is receiving it. He's sitting there. Sheikh is not saying anything, but he's receiving. His heart is, his understanding is just growing. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, Wafaqtu Rabbi. That wahi hadn't yet come, in spite of the wahi hadn't come, had not coming, then too I was able to understand what wahi was supposed to be coming. So he built such an affinity with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He built such an affinity with Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that before Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam conveying that wahi, he could pick it up from the heart of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is that tabiat, this is that type of compatibility, that type of affinity we need to build. It happens. If you build a type of affinity, you will gain what is in that heart. Allah Ta'ala Tawfiq Nasib.